First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Hear again God's word. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. May God help us in a greater understanding of this, his word. Amen. Last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, which is also a message of the gospel. And it is a message of the gospel in the context of an example of Christ's suffering, how he suffered and how he lived. And sometimes it's taken this way simply. And I tried to say this last week, allude to this at least, that very often the gospel is simply taken as an example of how Christ lives. And it's taken this way often from the 24th verse in the second chapter of the book of 1 Peter, that we are to follow in Christ's steps, that we are to follow him as an example. And verse 21 says this very plainly, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." And the Apostle Peter lays before us the example of Jesus Christ, because that example is so pointed and poignant and specific with regard to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. But the atonement is not simply an example. It's much more than that. It is the work of Jesus Christ on behalf of sinners. And if we take it simply as an example to follow in this life, and following this example will be all right eternally, we miss the point, do we not? We have to bear down on what Christ has done on behalf of sinners. And as we do so, we interface with the gospel. And so I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 in this light. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. And I say that in connecting this with the Lord's Supper, I say that we really do preach the healing work of Christ when we come to the Lord's table and celebrate the gospel. And so we look at the gospel a little bit and connect it this morning with the Lord's Supper that we are celebrating. Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross. Christ bore, that is, he carried our sins, our faults, and our misdeeds. It seems you have to add those words to the word sins these days, because pitifully few people really understand the concept of sin. Those of us who have grown up in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, or perhaps in a Presbyterian church, know the definition of sin that comes from the Shorter Catechism. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And that law of God is summarized in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Those commandments, a summary of morality. And the old theologians, the old divines, would say that that's a comprehensive view of the character of God. And so it is. That God's love is displayed in that summary of who He is. And if we are going to be conformed to the image of our God, we have to be conformed to those commandments. And they're not negative, they're not burdensome. 1 John says, and this is love, that we carry out His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Too often telling the truth and fidelity in marriage and these things are seen to be burdensome, particularly so in our culture and society today. It shouldn't be the case, because those who are filled with the Spirit of truth and those who love the Lord their God will follow these commandments. And these commandments, we know, are given to us not as a burden, but as a vehicle to display our love to one another. And it's a wonderful thing when we can do that. And when we violate those commandments, that's sin. That's fault on our part. That is error, profound error on our part. They are misdeeds on our part when we break those commandments. And we are guilty before God. That's what the Bible teaches us. And the Scripture this morning says that Christ bore, He carried our sins. In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan has the picture of Christian, the pilgrim, with a great pack on his back that he wants to relieve himself of. And that's the burden of sin. And evangelist tells him that he must go through the narrow gate and up the narrow path to the cross in order to be relieved of that burden of sin. And when we think of that, that's a great picture of sin and how we're burdened with the results of sin and the care and the guilt that comes upon us because of sin. Now imagine, the text says Christ bore our sins. That's your sins and my sins, friends in Christ. How many packs, how many knapsacks, how many backpacks are thrust upon Jesus Christ? You know, we carry one pack and we're bent over. You know, in my days I carry a pack and it really bends me over. Some who are younger don't experience that so much, but as the days go by, we do experience that. Think of the hundreds, the thousands of packs of burden cast upon Christ. Was that not a burden that He bore? And the text, the word that's used in the text, He bore our sins or carried our sins. The emphasis there is the bearing of a sacrifice up to the altar. That's one way the word is used. And surely it is that Jesus Christ, as the sacrifice, bore the sins of His people up to the cross. And that's the next point, or a point further down. He bore our sins. He carried our sins. And the text goes on to say, He bore our sins in His body. It's a wonderful thing for us to contemplate the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The fact that He took on human flesh, that He took on a body just like ours, that He entered this world in the form of a man, Philippians says, that He took on to Himself that human flesh. And we have to stop and contemplate that for a moment. This last week, I had a devotion on the internet that caused a little bit of stir. It was called Cremation or Burial. And I argued in favor of burial over cremation. And I got something like 100 emails saying, boy, are you way out. You don't know what you're talking about. You're too tied to this physical world and to this body of yours. Well, yes, I am tied to this body of mine. I'll admit that. And the body is terribly important. And we all know that this is the case. Important enough was this physical body in which we find ourselves that Jesus Christ took on a body just like ours. And He bore our sins in His body. I'd like you to turn with me just to get the emphasis a little bit more thoroughly here. Would you turn with me to Isaiah 53 and look at some of the things the prophet says about our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a shoot out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon Him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to Him. In the body was Jesus Christ so comely and beautiful that individuals flocked after Him and were in awe of His appearance? Apparently not. In fact, it appears to be just the opposite. And in verse 3 it says, He was despised and forsaken of men. Do you suppose Jesus Christ understood how it felt when somebody came up to Him and shook their finger in His face with anger and hostility? I know how that feels. I was chewed out more than once in the army by an officer. And I chewed out some other people too. He was despised and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their faces, He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Did He know profound grief and sorrow? Yes, He did. Did He know grief when He healed a leper and the others went away? And didn't acknowledge His greatness and goodness. Of course He did. And did He understand what it meant to be despised by others? Of course He did. Just review the Gospels and you understand that's the case. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. See, this is where Peter is getting his ideas. He bore in His body our sins. This is very amazing. And grief and sorrow can come as a result of sin in a family where there are difficulties between a husband and a wife, and the children are in deep fear and grief and in torment. And it's there, it's real. Did He know that? Did Jesus Christ know that? Drop down in Isaiah 53 to verse 11. As a result of the anguish of His soul. I'm just amazed at this. That in
the depths of his soul, Jesus Christ felt an anguish and a torment and a struggle. I think we have to come to grips with that. And that's all involved in the fact that he was in the body, and his coming in the body was very important. He bore our sins in his body.
Back to 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. And I'm fascinated by the language here, because in the margin, and it's correct, it says, carried up to the cross. The little phrase there, on the cross, the prepositional phrase, and that preposition on means to and on. In other words, our Lord Jesus Christ carried our sins, bore our sins in his body to the cross and then up on the cross. And we scratch our heads a little bit and think, well, how did that work out? How did that come about? Do you remember when Christ was baptized by John? And John said to Jesus, "You know, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, you're to baptize me, because in this way all righteousness is to be fulfilled." And in his baptism, one of the things that took place was that Jesus Christ identified with you and me. He identified with people like us, with people who need cleansing. And at that point, our Lord Jesus Christ began to bear the sins of his people in a profound way as he began his ministry. He bore those sins in his body to the cross. And from that moment of his baptism, he was steadfastly set, although the route was very circuitous and through many instances, miracles, his life was set to go to the cross. And we can think of our Lord Jesus in his ministry when he said, "The foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." No place to call home. Now, how good it is to have a home, and a place to call home. But this world he knew was not his home, that his mission was to bear our sins. And when he heard the scoffing of the crowd, and when the soldiers put that crown of thorns on his head and pierced his brow, and the blood came down his brow, and before that he took the stripes. Why? Why?
He bore our sins in His body up to the cross. And on that cross, and He suffered all the torment and humiliation imaginable. Look at our text again. He Himself bore our sins in His body to the cross. To that instrument of death. And what did the crowds think? Well, of course, the crowds had already cried, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" But the crowds also thought, "Here is not a man blessed of God. Here is a man cursed of God. Because He's on that cross." And He took that curse for us. He bore our sins in His body to and on the cross. And before He uttered those words, "It is finished," He cried, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" Because it was darkness and gloom and torment and suffering on that cross. He bore our sins in His body on the cross. Our text again. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's interesting, the literal translation would be, so that having died to sin, we might live to righteousness. But I want to back up a little bit, because we have this little word "might" in there. And I spoke about this concept last week somewhat. We get the idea that little term "might" places the burden on us, that He bore our sins in His body on the cross in order that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, as though all the burdens now upon us. The interesting thing is that is not the language of the New Testament. That's not the kind of condition that is set forth in the language of the New Testament. Decidedly not the condition that's given. You see, the condition that's given is this, that He bore our sins in His body on the cross. And had He not done that, there would be no death to sin and no life to righteousness. There would be none. And He died on that cross so that there would be a dying to sin and a living to righteousness. And I'll tell you what, it's a great thing when we understand that God comes along in His grace and mercy on the basis of Jesus Christ's work on the cross and takes us to Himself and makes us His own. I remember so well in Korea, decades ago, walking up a little hill after having an encounter with an army chaplain and hearing the gospel for the first time in my life, really hearing it. And I asked myself the question, and I asked, and I continue to ask myself the question, why? Why, Lord? Why me? Why this opening of the gospel to me? And there was only one answer that I could give. Because you love me. Because you love me. And that's the answer Paul gives too. He loved me. And He gave Himself up for me. I don't know how that could be, except that it is. And it is because Christ bore my sins in His body up to and on that cross. And He bore your sins in His body up to and on that cross. And so you're here. And you sing the psalm, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I love you because you first loved me. Thank you. He bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we, dying to sin, would live to righteousness. So that we would progress through this life and die more and more to the principle of sin, which is so present, and live more and more under the righteousness of God and be transformed from one image to another, from one degree of faith to another, from one degree of love to another, and become more like Him. Praise be unto God for His unspeakable gift in Jesus Christ. And then the text says, for by His wounds you were healed. By that suffering, by that excruciating pain in the body of our Lord Jesus, taking upon Himself sins, my sins, your sins, people of God, you're healed. You are healed spiritually. The guilt of sin is removed. You are healed in your body. Oh yeah. I know some of you are waiting for this to come about in a magnificent way because the pains of the body yet persist. And there are those who favor the cremation of the body because they say, life as we know it is over, and I would just as soon be fully and completely absorbed by that nature from which I came, and so burn my body and scatter my ashes. And I say, hold it right there. Because in the end, this body is as important to God as the soul is important to God. And Paul says that we await our adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. And when Christ comes a second time in glory, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will all be changed. And this mortal body of ours, which is suffering the afflictions of sin at this point, and the wages of sin is death, this mortal body will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will receive bodies that are fit for heaven. And there will be no more crying, there will be no more tears, there'll be no more death, and we will be transformed. And this body will be saved. Are you looking forward to that? I think we should be. Because that body is just as important as that soul is important to God. And we know this is the case because Christ bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And because of His body being completely and totally transformed, we have the assurance that that will take place for us too. And there will be total healing of this mortal body. I'm glad that's the case. I really am. And I think we all ought to look forward to it. And so I say finally that when we come to the Lord's table, we preach the healing work of Christ, the healing work of Christ that has to do with sin. We preach the healing work of Christ that has to do with sin in our mortal bodies, and we preach the healing of Christ that has to do with the healing of our souls before God. And we come to the Lord's table to celebrate that great work of Jesus Christ that He did in the body for people like us. And I think that ought to give us great anticipation with regard to the Lord's Supper, and a great desire to come to the Lord's Supper, and a great hungering to come before God and say to Him, I love You, Lord, because of what You have done for me in Jesus Christ. And so we come to the Lord's table today with that in view and with that desire to celebrate His work and His healing and His grace. Pray with me, please. Father, thank You that as we contemplate the text which is before us, we see our Savior and we see ourselves and we see what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf as God's people. Thank you that this is the case. And as we come to the supper, Father, bless us, strengthen us, and cause us to reflect on your work in him on our behalf. Hear us. In Jesus' name. Amen.